Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Bonnie Kay, and welcome to the Straight Wives Talk Show. This is a hard-hitting show that discusses the complexity of marriages between straight women to gay men. Each week, my guests and I discuss issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or bisexual man. If you have any comments during or after this broadcast, please feel free to write to me at bonkay@aol.com. So before I introduce my guest for tonight, I do want to mention about our healing weekend coming up in October. It will be here in Philadelphia. It'll be a weekend to remember, whether you've attended these before, because many of the people coming are new people and many are coming back are old people. It's just wonderful to be in a room full of people who can understand everything you're feeling, every emotion you have, and every trauma you've been through, because we've all lived the same life. So if you're interested, write to me at bonkay@aol.com, and I will be happy to send you information about the healing weekend. A number of years ago, a man called me. His name is John, and he called me because he was going through a very hard time in his life. He is a gay man, and he was a gay man who was in love with another man who was a closeted gay man. And he was just in a lot of pain because it was a relationship that just never worked out the way he was hoping it would be. And that's how we started communicating and talking and becoming friends. And John has been very, very supportive of my work. And he's also very supportive of women in our situation. And so he asked if he could be a guest. And I said that would be, I asked him if he would be a guest. That's really the reality. I said, would you like to come on the show and maybe talk a little bit so women can have some understanding about, you know, what the situation is about? Not making judgment because, you know, we all have our own feelings, but maybe to get some understanding about it from a gay perspective So, John, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Bonnie. Thank you so much for having me on. And as you just said, I'm a big fan of your work, and it's always nice to talk to you, and I love what you do. So it's a pleasure to be here, and I hope I can be of maybe a little bit of help.
Yes, I'm hoping you will be. Of course, let's start at the beginning, and when you called me about why you were so upset.
So, and I'll go back before that and maybe talk a little bit about a couple other relationships, but I was in a relationship that started about 10 years ago, and a guy moved in next door to me, and nice guy, single, young, but I have pretty good gaydar, so I figured he was gay. I'd been out for a long time, and I sort of stayed away from him. We're friendly neighbors because I just thought, I said to a friend of mine, I think he's gay, he just doesn't know it yet. So a couple of years went by, and we got together for a drink, and we started talking and spent more and more time together. And he was dating a young woman, and we started spending more and more time together. And we were talking just a lot about sexuality and all that kind of stuff. And I really thought, this guy is looking for a mentor. And sure, I've helped other guys. And I'll help him come out of the closet. Well, he went back and forth with his girlfriend and broke up a couple times over the next year, and I fell in love with him, and I believe he fell in love with me as well. I had no intention of ever doing that. And it just kept getting more and more complicated. Eventually he got engaged. I left town for a while, and he got married. And, by then, just before he got married, actually, he went away on a trip, and his fiance then came and had drinks with me and said, "Do you think he's gay?" And so my answer was, I don't know. You'd have to ask him." And it was a not fun conversation, and she proceeded to take me to their house and show me to the closet, his dresser drawers, and talk about their life. I never said anything to him, but I think it was the next day when I woke up, and when I saw her, she said, "Oh, I had too much to drink. I don't remember anything we talked about." But it was right then that I went on the internet to try to find some information, because I was already in pain by then. And that's how I found your name. And that's how I found your book. And before I called, so that was then, that was still, things were going on. And so I got a couple of your books and read them. And I was, fascinated that, to see another perspective. I was kind of only thinking about it from my own point of view. So I read your work, and so he got married, had a couple kids, and stayed in touch with me, and I finally left town, and we finally had a blow up. I tried to be a family friend. I knew her very well, and I just couldn't stand another minute of it. And when I really blew up with him, they both sort of blamed me and said, and I never outed him, ever. I called you sort of a wreck and said, I'm really, it's been a lot of years and I really fell in love with him, and I feel bad for his wife, and now he's made this choice, and, it feels like everybody's in a bad spot from this. So that's how the story of how I met you.
Let me ask you this question. All those years you had a relationship with him one way or another. From the beginning, was it ever more of a relationship than later on after he met his wife?
I think it was more in the beginning, because I think when I first met him, as he began to date her, he really was making a play at thinking, I really believe in my heart, he was thinking very seriously about coming out. And I think he got too scared, and so our relationship got deeper emotionally. It was never particularly very sexual, although there was, enough of it to know the difference. And so over the years, what I think guys in the closet do, what gay people do with other people is, when they're trying to come out, is come here, go away, come here, go away, come here, go away. And so there was a lot of that with him. And I could just never, I was, just couldn't really ever make enough headway, and it just got too painful. So,
Did you ever have that talk with him about any possibilities of a relationship?
Oh, sure. sure. I told him I loved him. He told me he loved me too. He said he wanted me to be in his life. He said, you know, early on, you know, if I were gay, I'd want to be with you. And I said, well, let's talk more about that, and what are you going to do? And this was before he got married. And so I still felt like I wasn't, you know, I didn't like the situation, but, you know, he wasn't married yet. I mean, once he got married, I mean, then, you know, it's just like, well, what are we supposed to do now? Nothing. You're married. And I, like I said, I knew his wife, but sure, we talked on and off a lot about all those things.
Did you talk to him about getting married when he was going with her?
Yes, and he,
as far as maybe,
you know,
not getting married, if you think that you could have any kind of,
yeah,
you know, gay.
He said to me that he wanted children, which I understood, and I,
mm-hmm.
you know, I know she pressed the marriage, and I know he's religious, and it's not a tiny town, but a lot of his family lives there, and I think, you know, he just struggled back and forth about what he should do. I think he certainly cared a lot about her. He probably loved her. I don't know if he's in love with her. And so I think he just, you know, he couldn't do it. He just didn't have the strength to come out. He made what seemed to be a go of it a couple of times, and he just couldn't do it. And, you know, he went for the other thing. And you know, I think, you know, I think she's sort of put it all, you know, behind her. And, you know, like I said, they have children and they're part of the community. And, you know, I don't know what their life's like, because it's been 2.5 years since I've been in touch with him. I assume I sort of know it can't be very happy from the information that I have. But I think, Bonnie, that people will choose unhappiness over uncertainty. And I think mm-hmm. uncertainty was a very big part of, he liked the family structure. He, like I said, he wanted to have kids. They, you know, if you see their Facebook page, which I haven't in a while, but, you know, they're beautiful. They're a beautiful family. And it's, you know, it's all the stuff you see on social media that's really high octane propaganda. You know, you look at it and you think, this is probably the most beautiful, happiest family in the world. And somehow I know that's not the truth. And so, anyway, that was the long answer to your question.
John, we talked a little bit about this before. You know, you've been out in the open for a long time, you know, openly gay. And you go into mm-hmm. gay bars sometimes, right?
Yep.
Where you meet a lot of men, you know, who are married at these places.
I have, yes. And I, like I said, I think I have really good gaydar, and so since some of the experiences in my life, I stay as far away from it as I can get. But I was working in retail for a while, and these guys would come in with their fiancés and say, I want to do a wedding registry, and I would think, how is this happening in front of my very eyes in this day and age? But it does, and I, you know, like I said, I try to stay far away from it, but it happens all the time. And you know, I have a neighbor right now who, you know, I don't even really want to meet him. I met his wife and his baby, and I saw him, and I'm like, oh God, here we go. I don't want to get to know him. been down that road. So my point is, yes, I do.
I think it's more prevalent than people think, right?
I think it's way more. And I guess I'll ask you, because you've been doing this for a long time. It's shocking to me that it's so prevalent still. It's always a terribly hard journey to come out, and I think it still is. But once you're out, you know, this is different from 30 years ago. It really is different. It's much safer to be out, and it just doesn't have the implications. And so it's perplexing to me that, you know, guys, I always, you know, from the, they would get into the situation and be, you know, be so deceptive. And you know, with the guy I fell for, was it, you know, days when I felt pretty bad about him, I think, you know what, you just want to have it both ways. You get to have the beautiful wife and children, and then you got me around the corner to, you know, when you feel lonely and you want to really talk about something. And it's, and, you know, that really got under my skin.
I think it's very difficult knowing someone who can't come to terms with themselves. You know, you went, when you first met him, he was single, so, you know, it was different. And you were hoping that you could show him the right way, right?
That is. I really did think I was just supposed to be a mentor. And because I'm older than he, I just had no idea. I mean, I thought, well, I'm not going to fall in love with him, but there's no possible way he could fall for me. So, you know, that was a, you know, you never know what's going to happen. And so, knowing what I know now, I would have just stayed very far away from him. But one of the things that we talk, you and I have talked about once is, that got very hard for me is I started to feel complicit in their deception, you know, that I had to keep, you know, I never told him about conversations I had with her, and I never, you know, told her conversations I had with him, and I thought, God, I've been out of the closet, you know, 25 years. Well, what am I doing? Climbing back into the closet with somebody and helping, you know, keep their secret, which I, you know, and some of the guys in my situation, they're not always happy either, and they're not always looking to just break up marriages. In fact, you know, quite the opposite in my case. I don't want to break up someone's marriage. I don't want to, you know, if that's what he's going to do, I don't want to be the cause of that, and I don't want to get in between two people. But the situation is, you know, so complicated and awful that, you know, I found myself there. Anyway.
Yeah, it's really hard being in love with someone who's not emotionally available to you. You know, and you get fixated on that person and nothing more can come of it.
Well, and so let me ask you, because you went through it, and I guess one of the things I'm interested in, we've talked about this a little bit, just the beginning part, is that you had an inkling about your husband, or because somebody told you around the time you married him, and I think you said you were at a restaurant and he practically tipped over the table when you mentioned, was it possible that he could be gay?
And I was so relieved when he did that. You know, nothing made me happier than seeing his great, you know, strides of denial and screaming, how dare somebody say that about me? And then he came up with a really good story, you know, why they said it.
Okay, so can you talk about that? Yeah, can you talk about that a little bit?
Yes, I know when I was with, you know, when I was going with my husband, my ex-husband Robert, he was, you know, this is back in 1978. I mean, what did we know back then? Nothing. You know,
right.
I was an activist at that time, going around the country recruiting people to stop the neo-Nazi march in Skokie, and I was speaking in New York, and he volunteered. In the audience, there were like 300, 400 people there, so I didn't get to meet him that night. But I met him like, you know, a few weeks later when I returned to town. I was going around the country. And they said, there's this guy here, and he's a martial artist, and he's been training our, you know, group for the last, you know, week since you've been gone, giving lessons in how to fight and martial arts, and they were so impressed with him. And they said, you got to meet him. And when I met him, he was very charming, very charismatic. The fact that he was a martial artist, he was very strong. He looked very similar back then to Sylvester Stallone. And I've just seen that movie, Fist, with Sylvester Stallone, about the unions. And I thought, man, this guy is really a top-notch guy. And, you know, plus the fact, once again, he was fighting who he was. He was telling me how many women were in love with him, you know, how many relationships he had. So there would be no reason for me to think he was gay, because back then I had grown up, you know, a lot with gay people. I was in California in the 60s, and gay people were gay people. You know, you knew who they were, so you thought. So why would somebody want to marry me who was gay? That did not equate with me. But when this young man said to me that your ex-husband, there's something that he's either bisexual, he said, or gay, and I said, well, why would you think that? You know, because to look at him, people would never know. So, you know, that was the
and
first
thing. Same, yes. And I could pass, and the guy fell for it could totally pass. He's, you know, hot, plays sports, all that kind of stuff. You'd never, you know. You know,
right.
You
I mean, some people you can tell, and other people you definitely can't tell. So, like, you and I were talking about the guy now who's the ball player who came out. I'm sure people could not tell with him, or the guy who was a bachelor, right?
Oh, yeah, Carl Nassib, and I'm so glad that he did, because, you know, he actually is being courageous, because he's the first out gay NFL ball player, and, you know, he's putting a big salary and a big career on the line.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so he's going to do the right thing. And Colton Underwood, who was on The Bachelor, same thing. And, you know, it's so these are guys who completely can pass.
But if you look at them, their immediate appearance, you would never think that there were any signs that they were gay. And
not even a single. Yeah.
Exactly. There was no way for me to know. So when this young man said that, and I was so out of left field, and I went and had lunch the next day with my, you know, to-be husband. And I told him this, and he blew up and nearly turned over the table. And he said, "How dare somebody accuse me of being gay?" You know, I said, "Well, why would they say that?" So then he said, "I know who said that." And he said, "I'm going to tell you what happened." He said, you know, he was a mentor to some of these guys, and he said, I was having a conversation with him. And he was telling me he was having some doubts about his sexuality. And all I said to him is, don't feel bad about that. All guys go through this. We all have doubts. We all question ourselves. He said, not that I did, but he said, I just wanted him to feel comfortable enough that he could talk to me. So, you know what?
Wow, well, that was smooth.
It was good. I mean, so I felt,
yeah,
you know,
listen, I'm impressed.
It was a good story. And because when you're in love with somebody and you want to believe their stories, plus I think another thing that threw me off, and maybe you can understand this, I couldn't understand how a gay man could have sex with a straight woman. I know that when I was a teenager, I fell in love with this guy in California named Glenn. And it was an emotional love because I knew he was gay. And he had an emotional love for me, and he also had a boyfriend and a sugar daddy. But the point is that we got along
right.
So well, and we were so close. And all of a sudden, one day, he said, well, why don't we think about getting married? He said, you know, I really would like to have children and stuff. Of course, then I was only 17. I knew so much less than I knew when I got than my ex-husband 10 years later. But, you know, I said to him, I don't know about that. You know, so he said, well, let's try. Well, you know, let's have some sex. Well, we tried 3 times, and there was no way in hell that it was working. You know, he was a gay man, so to me, gay meant even if you wanted to be with somebody, it's just not going to happen. But when I met my ex-husband, it did happen. And I thought, well, how could he be gay? He's able to have sex with me. You know, if he were gay, you know, the same thing would have happened. So it's really tricky. But one of the things that I learned, and you can confirm this, is that not everybody feels gay at the same time and moment and intensity. Like, I deal with so many men who will tell me, they swear up and down, that when they were in their 20s, they may have thought they had attractions to men, but they just thought that was normal because they were having a wonderful relationship with their wives and they were able to perform sex. And they were able to do that until their 30s, and maybe some of them even until their 40s. Have you seen that in your experience?
Yes, so in my experience, I was able to perform, and I came out when I was 26, so I stopped sleeping with women after that. But I was able to from, you know, whatever time I started, 19 or 20, I can't remember. I always was able to perform, and especially the younger you are, and it's also fun if you're kind of, you know, I had a girlfriend who I thought I might be in love with, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, when you're that age, you know, for men, I know almost everything feels so. What happened for me was, as it got closer and closer to me coming out, it became a little more obvious to me that I was that I didn't want to get caught. So I would get a little nervous on a Saturday night. I'd think, oh God, maybe we should just go to the movies. What if I'm not very good in bed? And I could always perform. I could always get an erection. But I thought, what if I'm not good? And, you know, as it turns out, my second-to-last girlfriend actually asked me if I thought I might be gay. And, you know, I gave her a hard time about it. But that's when I also thought, and I think she might have been a lesbian, but I was like, oh, my God, she noticed. Like, I'm not as good as I think I am. I was good enough, so sort of, maybe. And then my last girlfriend, I just avoided. I started avoiding it. And then I would do it, and it was just, it couldn't have been very much fun for her. But I know straight men who won't do certain things, and I always did everything because partly I felt a little guilty, and partly I wanted the person I was with to feel pleasure. So I performed oral sex. I did all that, and so I kind of got away with it. But I realized with my last girlfriend, I'm not going to get away with this forever, and I don't want to. I was like, I want to be with men, and I guess I'll get up with kids, and like I said, it was a different time.
It, right?
Yes, well, it becomes more of a chore, because one of the things that I know about the closet is the longer you stay in the closet, what your life becomes is about hiding in the closet, and your whole entire existence becomes guarding the closet door and watching the knob on the closet to make sure nobody opens it, and it brings up all this intensity. So you start to worry, did somebody, you know, should I wear this? Should I cross my legs this way? No one ever really questioned me except, you know, I was running out of girlfriends and running out of time. And you start getting worried about how you're going to explain those things and, you know, explain your buddy who you hang around with all the time, you know. And so those are the things. And it becomes almost, to me, it became almost, it's a long time ago to exactly remember in my case, but it became almost a little level of paranoia. I was always looking over my shoulder, you know, not wanting to get busted. So certainly you don't want to get busted in bed not being able to perform. So, you make it work.
But do you think that from these men that you're meeting, for instance, you know, who are married, for instance, at gay bars or other places, do you think they're happy in their marriages? Are they just happy with their status?
I think they like, some of them like their home life to an extent because that's a nice, you know, that's the way we all grew. That's what we all were striving for. I wanted... you know, the picket fence and a couple kids. But do I think they're happy in bed? No. And do I think they're happy with parts of their marriage? No. And one of the things I feel bad for the women is women, when men come out, are supposed to explain. They're like, didn't you know? Did you make him gay? They don't say that anymore, but they even used to say years ago, did you make him gay? This is so ridiculous. Uh-huh. It's not even right. Or didn't you know? Wasn't there a sign? And I think, you know, people have inklings. In my case, the guy I was with, you know, she asked me before they got married, she said, do you think he might be gay? But like you said, when you love someone, you push that stuff to the side. And like you said about the story about your ex-husband, he was so good at telling a story that even when you just told me the story, it's like, well, you know, if you have a headache, a hard day at work, you know, in the case of the guy I was with, he had religion. They didn't believe in premarital sex. So that's an easy one to get you a couple, buy you a couple years. Don't believe in having sex once she's pregnant. That buys you another couple years. And so I think if people look hard enough, they can see that there were some signs. And, you know, I think when women say they had great sex with their gay husbands, I tend not to believe them, not because I think they're, you know, lying, but I think they're more deceiving themselves.
I think a lot of women who were married in my time, especially, but, you know, even later, they had limited sexual experience because of religious beliefs or because of, you know, their moral situations. So I think it's easy to fool somebody for a while, and especially if you have nothing to compare it to.
Yeah, so a good friend of mine who was married and had a couple children and really loved the guy, and she said, you know, I'm pretty sure my ex-husband was gay. And we talked about it, and then she said to me, you know what, I'm sure he was gay. And then she did a little, you know, imitation of him having sex with her. It was very funny. I won't do it on radio. But what she said was she got remarried a few years later, and she said she married somebody straight, and she said, then I knew what good sex was like. She said, I just never had good sex before. You know, I didn't know. And I'm like, well,
right.
none of us know
of
about good sex until you have it.
Exactly.
Yeah,
a lot of times early they'll tell me, no, we have a good sex life. Well, they have a good sex life based on a fallacy of what a good sex life is. But the point is that when they meet somebody straight, then they come back to me and they said, I had no idea what sex was even about. Because they weren't experienced when they married their gay husbands.
Well, and I just thought of this, Bonnie, and maybe do you think, you know, when you're young and you're in love, or even when you're a little older and you're in love, it's so nice to be in love that you can get excited about a lot of things. It's when that real, to me, the true intimacy comes into the picture that it starts to sort of fall apart, you know, and that's,
yeah,
I think, another way.
The problem is, John, is that when you're married to a gay man, it's not so much that whether he can have sex or not. The fact is he doesn't want to have sex with you, so he'll do it for a while because either he's supposed to, or like you say, in the early stages, anything feels good. But then they want to keep, you know, pretending like something's going on. And, of course, what happens is the sexual rejection. You know, they'll have sex with you once a year or twice a year, you know, make you feel that it's your fault that you're not having it the rest of the time. And they start knocking you and pulling you apart, making you feel as if you're the one who's inadequate, or you're too fat, you're too thin, you smell bad, you have bad breath. You know, they'll come up with all these very hurtful things. I'll never forget, I had one woman, my heart really went out to her. It made me cry that every night she would go to bed, before she went to bed, she would go and scrub her skin so hard it was almost bleeding because her husband would tell her that she smells. And he was just doing that because he didn't want to have sex with her. But, you know, why
well,
be so
and,
cool? And that's what they do.
Well, and it's, you know, about deflection. And that's, again, the closet. Somebody said, I think it was Paul Monette said, the closet destroys the integrity of decent people. And I really believe that. And I believe that guys start out, okay, you know, the way, in order to stay in the closet, they start to behave in a way that, you know, he had, this guy you're talking about had to deflect from himself because it couldn't be about him. If it was about him, then what's the problem with him? So if you keep it about your wife and it's her fault, then she can feel bad about herself and you can throw her off the trail for a little while. And like I said, that's what it becomes for a lot of these guys I know. It's all about not getting caught at a certain point. And then they all get caught with porn or they don't, you know, and then they say it was a friend or somebody hacked their computer or whatever it is. You know, eventually most of these things tend to unravel. And I guess I'll ask you, I wanted to ask you about this. Is you talk to so many men. What I'm kind of interested in is guys who get married, maybe stay married a couple of years and get divorced because they come out. And then there are people who stay in longer. And then there are people stay in, you know, a lot of times 20 years seems to be a kind of thing people do, or they have kids and they wait till they're in high school. And then there's 30, 40, and 50 years. And do you see, I mean, do you see a trend in that at all? That is it once you're in long enough, you just feel like you need to stay in? Is that, do you have any sense of that?
A lot of these men are able to compartmentalize their lives. So they have the married life with their wife, which is not a real married life. It's a fake married life because it's the illusion that they have a married life. But then the guy's out doing his own thing. And I see this all the time, these men who are married 30, 40 years. And, you know, when a woman comes to me and she says, my husband hasn't had sex with me in 20 years, 25, 30 years, and I explain to her, that's fine, but if he's not having sex with you, he's having sex with someone. And you have to be honest about it.
Yeah.
You know, first, a very hard thing to have to accept. That, first of all, knowing your husband's gay is very traumatizing to start with. Because it's not just a matter of, you know, being unloyal or cheating on you. It's a matter of cheating on everything in your life of who you are. And a lot of these guys do what I call gay light, which is formerly known as gaslight, but since they're gay, I call it gay light. They're wise into thinking that they're the crazy ones. And blaming them for all the problems in the marriage, deflecting like you were saying, because they don't want to face the truth of they are the problem. And they make their wives just feel so bad that they don't stand up for themselves, or they feel they can't stand up for themselves until they come to me and I really work with them to realize there's a better life for you out there. You don't have to be humiliated every day. You don't have to be told that, you know, I'm not having sex with you because there's something wrong with you. And I really resent that, John. I really resent them taking their problem and making it's the wife's problem. I think that's really cruel and unusual punishment to women.
It is cruel. It's extremely cruel. Like you said, it is gay lighting. And I experienced a little bit on the other side because, you know, when you're trying to keep your life, like you just said, compartmentalized, and in my case, a couple times, you know, he'd say, oh, you know, we just watched the most romantic movie, you know, last night, and, you know, it was so nice that we had a candlelight dinner. I'm thinking, why are you telling me this? Are you trying to torture me? You don't need to try to convince me that you are madly in love and have a happy marriage. And I was in love with him, so that hurt my feelings. So I guess my point to the women is it gets everybody gets a little dose of it. And I got the dose from him that I wasn't quite good enough. I was like, what's wrong? You know, listen, I really was in love with him, and I showed it. I'm like, okay, I'm not good enough, but the closet is good enough for you? And lying to your wife and deceiving everybody, that's good enough for you? And, you know, it hurt my feelings. It still does. I think I said to you this when we talked a little before the show. It's hard for me
and
thinking
in the
about
end,
being on your show.
And in the end, he went and told his wife something that wasn't true, right?
Absolutely, and, you know, he'll probably stay with her, and they – now they have a common enemy, you know, who's me, that thank God I didn't destroy their marriage, you know, and I did walk away from it, and I have no plans to be in touch or destroy anybody's marriage. But my point is everybody gets a little taste of the bitter pill. And, you know, like you were talking, men who say terrible things or blame every problem in the marriage, every credit card bill, every 15 minutes late to an appointment, you know, it's all because of them. And, you know, you really do. The gaslighting does damage, and it does it on both sides.
Mm-hmm. It's very hard being the other man. I've worked with a number of men who are what I call the other men, who fell in love with good intentions. Either, you know, the guy wasn't involved with anybody at the time, or they met them somewhere. The guy said, you know, I've been waiting to meet you because I know I'm gay, but I couldn't come out before. Now that I have you, you're going to help me. And these guys fall for it in almost every case I know of, except for maybe one. It really backfires. And these guys are being used also. And you fall in love with them. And unfortunately, you know, they're just lying to you too. Because they're liars.
What?
They live every day of their life as a lie, correct?
Yes, and that is really when you're in love with someone, it's hard to, you know, I wanted at the end, I was like, oh, my God, you know, the song Everybody Plays the Fool sometimes. I didn't think of myself, you know, I've been around a little bit in the world, and I thought, oh, my God, I completely played the fool. You know, and that's hard. And it's like maybe, you know, maybe he didn't love me. Maybe he just said that because he wanted something to do on a Saturday night and his wife was working. I don't know. And that's, again, the damage they do on both sides and they do to their wives. You know, was every Christmas a lie? Was every, especially, I know that the guys in the closet, you know, and I've heard you say this, that women have a particularly tough time on Valentine's Day because they want a different Valentine's Day than they're going to get. You know, I got a different Valentine's Day than I wanted. So no one's getting the Valentine's Day that they want. So you get a cheap box of candy instead of getting a really nice dinner and getting to have great sex. And those lies hurt. Those slights and those lies and those deceptions really hurt people. And I guess it's coming out in my voice right now. I guess I'm a little angry about it. But
and I just want to mention to our listeners that be really clear that John did not go into a relationship with a married man. He went into a relationship with a single man, correct?
Yes. Yep. He was.
But that's not.
He was
when you
single
met
when
him,
I met him.
Single,
yep.
He
wasn't even dating when
him.
I met him.
Right. So you fell in love with someone who just went the other way, but left you hanging.
He went the other way
and didn't let go of you either.
And I couldn't. You know, I could not figure out, and I feel bad about this. I couldn't figure out how to extricate myself once I fell in love with him. And I did ultimately, but, you know, it was a bad situation all the way around.
Mm-hmm.
I think even for him, but I guess who cares that much about him, you know? You know.
Well, do you think eventually in time he'll leave his wife?
Do I think he'll
leave her?
Sorry, say again.
Think
I think he will eventually. I think so. I think possibly more likely, she's quite beautiful and quite talented. I think maybe eventually she'll leave him. Or, you know, one of them will get caught having an affair. I think she'll have to leave. I don't think he's got the strength to do it. I think he would have. He was really young and handsome when I thought I was mentoring him. And, you know, that sort of seemed like that was his moment. If he was going to do it. And since he didn't do it, and I think it gets probably harder and harder. So I think, yes, their marriage will end, but she's going to have to be the one to do it. Which
not
is also
necessarily.
Not fair. But
no, not necessarily.
Why do you say?
Because it will get harder and harder for him to keep living in that kind of a situation. You know, he was young, right? How old was he?
He's 36 now. He's 36 now, and he got married, I guess, when he was 29 or something. And he dated
her.
Right, so
29,
they were
30, 32. Yeah, you can pull that off for a while. But in time, it just is like poison that poisons you. And you just can't keep doing it. So it's only a matter of time till he'll be out there looking for something else. And once he's out there, who knows what he's going to find. But, he'll probably find himself.
Oh, yeah, sure, of course, right? I mean, why go back, why go back to somebody, you've already, when you can find someone new to tell a new story to. One of the things that maybe he will come out, because one of the things Colton Underwood talked about on Good Morning America is how much, what pushed him finally is he said how much he hated himself. He said he just couldn't believe how much he hated himself and that he knew he was living a lie and he couldn't stand all the lies he was telling. And he said it just ate him up and he finally had to come out. So Colton Underwood's 29. So sure, I think guys can get themselves there, but they don't. I guess the thing is they don't always. And if you're, and I think when, these guys are married and once you have children, then there's a different level. I don't know. And I think, it becomes about raising the kids maybe. I don't really know. I think, I think people can
distract themselves.
I don't
know.
Really
a lot of men leave while their kids are young also.
Well, and that happened in your case, didn't it?
Yes. My kids are only 3 months and 2.5 years.
Oh, God.
But mine did try to come back. I just, but once he was gone, I wasn't letting him back. So, I wasn't going back to a life of torture. Because he was really torturing
me.
He was so miserable in his life. He didn't want to be there. He always said he felt trapped. And I never understood why he felt trapped until I understood what he was. And that's a common complaint of a lot of these married men.
Well, because I think, they get married so they can hide, and then what happens is they start to feel trapped because it takes a certain amount of effort. And if you don't like exactly where you are and you want to be doing something else eventually, when that seems more convenient, then of course people feel trapped in marriages all the time, And,
I think it's hard to live a lie every single day of your life though.
You would think. I didn't have the stomach for it. I just didn't have the stomach for it. I was like, I can't. It eats at you. I do remember that. And like I said, it was a while ago when I came out, but I absolutely remember it eating at me, just feeling terrible about the whole thing.
Uh-huh.
And like you said, I think you said once in one of your books, you can't pray the gay away. And I remember getting a therapist just before I came out, and I remember flipping through the yellow pages. You remember when we had yellow pages, looking for, born-again Christianity. I didn't even believe in God. I was looking for any way I could find to not have to be gay and not come out of the closet. And, I experienced that. And, I ended up getting a therapist instead and coming out, which was much better. But, I was on the fence for a while.
Well, John, unfortunately, our time is just about over. And I really appreciate this, show with you. And I'm really hoping you'll consider coming back again in the fall. Because I think your
absolutely.
Message is an important message. And it's so nice to have an advocate, from the gay community, member of the gay community, who can understand what we're going through. So, who has sympathy
for this. I really enjoyed my time doing this, even though it's such a painful subject. And I adore you, and I think the work you're doing is so important. And I know it's not easy to, to always be doing it, but we all need you. So I'm glad that you do it.
Well, thank you, John, and I'll be talking to you real soon. And to all of our listeners, happy 4th of July, happy Day of Independence, and hopefully it'll be a good week for everybody. All right, everyone, and John, good night. Have a good week.
Good night.